Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A God who is with us in the present tense, who offers us that which can truly satisfy. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be focusing on this God who comes to us, this one who satisfies, who gives us what we truly need. And today we turn our attention to the book of John chapter 6. And we hear how Jesus assures us that he is the bread of life. He is the one who gives us what we need. He is the one who brings about real satisfaction. So I'd like to turn our attention today to John chapter 6. And I'm just going to read for you today from verse 32, beginning at verse 32 through verse 40. John chapter 6 says, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," the crowd said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Well, it keeps on happening. That little yellow light, warning light on my dashboard keeps coming on. The one that looks like a horseshoe. It's the one that tells you that you've got low tire pressure in one of your tires. So for the third time in the last couple of months, I've had to drag the air compressor out of the shed and go into the garage with my little instrument, my air pressure gauge, and I need to fill up my tires. I'm told that this can happen when the weather changes. You know, air pressure increases in hot weather and it decreases in cold weather. Or I'm told it may be the aluminum rims that I have on my car, that they're starting to corrode, and as a result, the air is leaking out. Whatever the reason, it's not good to be running on empty. But let's face it, life in this world often leaves us feeling that way, doesn't it? Worn down, broken down, causing us to shut down. But the truth of the matter is that you and I, even if we find ourselves worn down and broken down and shut down, we're always looking for something more. We're always needing something more. And today, as we hear of God's promises to us, we are assured that in Jesus there is so much more. More hope and more joy and more purpose and more life. For Jesus, this one who comes to us can truly satisfy. As he comes into our emptiness and our fears and our brokenness and reveals to us again the very heart of our God, a God who is present with us. Simeon experienced that in our gospel reading for today, didn't he? That this God of ours is a God who keeps his promises. He is a God who comes to us in the present tense and tells us, "I am who I am." And you see, no ruler, no government, no leader, no organization, no religious set of rules can do for us what Jesus alone can do. As he comes to us in the present tense, as the writer of the Hebrews testifies, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And as he comes, this God of ours, the great I am, can meet our needs today. As past history and present reality and future certainty all unite in this one God. called Jesus Christ. And it is because of that, it is because Jesus comes to us in the present tense, that we, as his followers, can be something different. It is because Jesus is willing to meet us right here, right where we are, right now, that we, as his followers, can do something different. We can be people who are actually doing a new thing as we learn to live in the present tense. For you see, as people who've been invited by Jesus to follow him, we've been invited to a different way of life and living. Even as things get hard, even when things don't make sense, even when we have to wait, you and I, we can live as people of hope. We can live as people who have a future, so that we can reveal to others the very heart of God. A God who is with us, assuring us that when we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, that all the rest will be given to us as well. And knowing that we've been invited into this way of life, we can be the people that Jesus calls us to be as we put him in the middle of everything we do. So that we can live as people who are not trapped in past regrets. So that we can be people who are not held back by our future fears. But that we can be people who live in the present as we discover again the very name, as we discover again that the very name of our God reminds us that our God wants us to live in the present tense with him. Last week we heard how Moses encountered God in the burning bush, and he asked, "Well, what's your name?" And God responded, "I am who I am. I am with you." And as we turn to Jesus, we hear again that same name as he reveals to us who he is. That he is a God who comes to us in the present tense. And that's why over the next number of weeks, we're going to turn our attention to those I am statements of Jesus. Discovering again that Jesus is this great I am, who is calling us to a new way of life and living. As he brings to us true fulfillment, as he gives to us the very bread of life, providing and preserving and presenting us a new way of life as we learn to put our trust in him. Well, I think it's going away. It's been on my forehead for a week now. I have a little cut up here and hopefully not a scar. Some of you through the week have asked me, well, what happened to your head? Well, it was DIY time last Saturday. Our car, the Honda, needed some help. You see, its brakes in the back of the car were worn down, and every time you back the car up, it let you know that the brakes were worn out. It would make this horrible screeching sound, and I was told by my wife and my son, "Dad, you got to do something about it, because we can't back the car up without everybody looking at us every time we back it up." So I thought I would undertake the project in the garage. And armed with a YouTube video, I convinced myself I could do this, and nothing could go wrong. Well, it didn't take long for things to go wrong. As I stripped a rusty bolt, quickly discovering that it wouldn't budge for no matter what. And so I tried everything, wrenches and sockets and pliers and vice grips. And after I got that vice grip on there, I thought, oh boy, I can't turn it myself. So I think I need a little force behind this. And I grabbed a hammer. And I decided I'm going to swing at that thing as hard as I could. Well, I swung and it came off that bolt and it hit me, that vice grip, right in the head. Yes, indeed, right in the head. Well, after doing that and laying there exasperated for a while. I knew that nothing was going to work until I got the right tool. And so with a phone call and a little help from a friend and a little and the right tool, a little acetylene tank and a little heat on that bolt, just like that, guess what? It came loose. Jesus, in John chapter 6, knew what the crowds of people who had gathered to hear him teach and preach, he knew what they needed. You see, Jesus had seen their struggles. He had observed their emptiness. He had felt the longing, their longing, for something more, something real, something life-giving. And you see, Jesus had what the crowds needed. You see, he had the right tools. You see, Jesus has what we need. And so Jesus, he comes, doesn't he? He comes to us in our places of hurting. He comes to us in our places of need. He comes to us in our emptiness. And Jesus, Roman numeral 1, gives us all we need. He gives us what money can't buy. As the prophet Isaiah once asked, why spend money on what is not bread? And your labor on what does not satisfy? Well, here's the deal. I mean, you can buy sleep. You know, the best bed. If you watch the Super Bowl, you'll probably see a commercial about that. Or those very comfy pillows that guy sells on TV. You can buy those. You can even buy the right kind of pills that will help you sleep. But here's the thing. You can't buy peace, can you? You may be able to buy entertainment, but not joy. You can buy a reputation, but you certainly can't purchase a character. You see, the crowds that had gathered there that day were looking for something more. And Jesus knew that they were not going to find it in the things of this world. And here's the deal, my friends, nothing has changed. And yet we run after the things of this world, thinking we will find what we're looking for, but only coming up empty. And yet, Jesus is willing to meet us in the present tense. As he comes to us, as he meets us where we're at, as he gives us what we need. As he meets us, point number one, with compassion. Now, only two of Jesus' miracles are found in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The resurrection account you will find in all four Gospels, and John chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000, as it's called, but it's really the feeding of the 15,000, I would say, with women and children who were gathered there that day. Now, all four accounts, when you look at them, they will tell us what Jesus did. Mark, if you look at Mark's gospel, will tell us why. It says that he had compassion on those in need. And as you read through in John's gospel, Jesus shows us how he has compassion. And he does it in John chapter 6 in actually three ways. He shows compassion. He shows compassion as he feeds those crowds that have gathered before him. But he also shows compassion to his disciples as he delivers them from the storms of life. You'll remember after the feeding, Jesus sends his disciples away and they go out onto the Sea of Galilee. And there that storm comes up and Jesus walks out to them on the storm. And then finally, we have that place in John chapter 6 where Jesus reveals his compassion as he offers the bread of life to those who are spiritually hungry. See, Jesus has compassion on us. First, he sees our physical need, and he provides for us, and he does it in amazing ways, doesn't he? Giving us the food we eat and the clothes we wear, all that we need, God provides for for us to sustain this body and life. Just as he fed those who were gathered there that day. People in need, people who were hungry. And he feeds them in an amazing way, doesn't he? We know the story of five loaves and two fishes. But before he feeds those crowds, Jesus recognizes and acknowledges where this all comes from, doesn't he? As he gives thanks to his Father in heaven. And as we read that account, what is truly miraculous to me is that there's always more than we could ever ask for or imagine. 12 basketfuls of leftovers. Always enough. But you and I, we don't always see it that way, do we? As we compare ourselves to others and we say, they've got more than I do. As we complain about what we've been given, well, it's not good enough, Lord. As we criticize God's ways, thinking that our ways are better. You see, that crowd there, they wanted more. And oftentimes so do we. And by doing so, we show our lack of gratitude. We doubt God's love for us. We seek to do things our own way, only to come up empty once again. But you see, Jesus wants more for us as he, point number two, as he opens our eyes. Now the crowds, we know, they couldn't see Jesus for who he really was. They tried to make him an earthly king, this bread king who would continue to just give them this bread day in and day out. But they couldn't see beyond that. They even argued with him, if you read in John chapter 6. They doubted that he was truly the one who had come down from heaven. And what's interesting as you read that text of John 6 is even it took the disciples a while to see Jesus as the one who could truly give them what they needed. And it wasn't until they were alone in that boat and that Jesus rescued them from the storms of life that they began to see Jesus for who he really was. And sometimes we just don't see who this Jesus really is. As we get focused in on the things of this world, as we fail to see his power to rescue us, as we look for something more, but you see, Jesus enables us to actually see things as they truly are. As he comes to us as the bread from heaven, feeding our souls, rescuing us from our sin, giving us what we truly need. As he fills us with his Holy Spirit, bringing, point number three, real satisfaction. Because you see, it was this Jesus who made things right once and for all. It was this Jesus who would take our sin, who would die our death. Jesus would go to the cross that we could have life and have it abundantly. And this life is ours now as we seek to live it to the full. Now, I guess it got real cold down in Florida a few weeks back. Maybe you heard about the cold from your complaining friends who are wintering down south. Or maybe you heard about the story in the news about the iguanas that were falling from the trees. If you didn't hear about it, you know, iguanas are cold-blooded, and when it got down to 30 degrees, they just kind of shut down, and they just started falling out of the trees. I wonder, sometimes, I don't know, we may feel like those iguanas. Like we don't have a whole lot to give. We don't have anything to contribute. Like we're just kind of stuck. But here's the thing, Roman numeral 2, Jesus uses all that we have. As we begin to learn to live in the present tense. As we learn to really and truly live life now. Because you see, that's what Jesus came to bring. Now, for those of you who read the book of John this past month, you no doubt heard that Jesus has come to bring life. I mean, 36 times, you've heard me say, 36 times in John's gospel, Jesus talks about bringing life. And in all of those seven I am statements, Jesus focuses on the life that he has come to give to us. A life that can be ours right here and now as we point number one, as we give our all. One little boy did. And so many were blessed. And so can we. Because you see, you and I, we have been filled to overflowing. We can be people who are giving away what we have been given. Not just going through the motions, not just getting by, not just struggling from day to day. You see, Jesus has so much more for us. As we learn to live with real hope, as we experience incredible joy, as we are people who are giving away what we have been given, as we are inviting others into this new way of life. And that happens, you see, as we are willing to step out in faith, as we are willing to bring real hope to a world that is running on empty, as we are willing to share with those in need that which truly satisfies. As we are people who are living in the present tense, as we are willing to be present with people who are hurting and who are in need and who are afraid, giving them that which fills us to the full, giving them the very bread of life. No doubt life in this world can often leave us feeling like we're running on empty. Jesus, the bread of life, has come, fulfilling God's promises, reaching out with compassion, and giving us what we need, filling us to the full as we are following Jesus together. Amen. Now may God's peace, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. We will now, at this time, gather up our offering.